Hey, welcome to Ed Trends Podcast. This is our fourth episode. I am Dave Guymon on Twitter, at Dave Guymon, and this is not John Hardison, because John Hardison is spending some time with his family. This is one of my favorite podcasters, and I was able to steal her away from her highly acclaimed podcast called Techlandia. Who are you?
I am Allison Anderson on the Twitter's Ted Rose CC. Hi, Dave.
Yes, and I met Allison down at ISTE. I had known her from Twitter before, but I am very excited to have you here, Allison. So thanks for stabbing Kurt and John in the back and coming on to this startup podcast. I really appreciate it. Yes, I'm from Idaho Falls, Idaho.
Well, I think you do a good job.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, now that I have a microphone that works, maybe people will start listening. We had two listeners last week. We were in the iTunes store, so you can download it for free. So be sure to tell your family when you go to your next family reunion, and your friends on Twitter as well. We're not competing with Techlandia, because Techlandia takes the podcast crown.
No.
We're simply
building
with Techlandia.
You got your own format. It's a good one.
Yes. So, Allison, the way we start out at Ed Trends is with something that we are trending on. In other words, what has caught our attention this week in education? And would you like to go first? Do you want me to go?
You go first, Dave. Is your brain working after ISTE?
Yeah,
enough to
it is.
To catch.
I had a full day of flying home that I was able to sleep and recuperate. And I actually have to give kudos to your friend, Kurt Reese, because he turned me on to this app. And what I'm trending on, it's not always an app. It actually has never been an app before. But this one is Voxer, and you use it because I voxed you to see why you hadn't joined my Google Hangout just a few minutes ago. But I was looking into Voxer, and if those listening don't know what Voxer is, it's a touch-to-talk walkie-talkie app for Android and iPhone, and it was actually created by Future Cab, which is a cab company, and the owner owner manages all online in Virginia. I've been trying to get my wife to get a Voxer account so that I can Vox her, and she asked me what the purpose of it was, why she would use it. And it's because it makes communication a lot more efficient. It's a lot quicker than texting. It's more personal than texting because you actually get to hear the person's voice. You can Vox in real time with each other, or you can send somebody a short message through Voxer that waits for them to get there. Plus, this is what I think is the coolest thing about Voxer, is you can have multiple people in a conversation. I know that you can have at least six people. Have you ever had more than six?
Six? No, I've only had three, I think, at the most.
You've had three? I just noticed that it has six plus signs up at the top of the Vox chat. And I noticed that you could scroll side to side, but it's been fun, so I've used it. I haven't actually used it seriously. I've just used it to kind of harass my friends. And Kurt, as he's on his trip through South Dakota, we voxed back and
You've
forth.
You've been harassing him?
Bit.
I know.
Yep.
He went loves to vox.
He went to the Corn Palace today, I saw. Did you know there was a palace all about corn in South Dakota?
I think that I did know that. It doesn't surprise me.
So, Allison.
That's Kurt's real home.
I'm passing.
Do you know Voxer? You know what I think would be good for Voxer too is in schools, if teachers that it kind of came. I heard somebody talking about it after the big shootings last year. You know, and everything, and teachers just to keep in contact with your principal and in different classrooms and stuff. I think it'd be good for everybody to have that on their phone. It works instantly. It's so cool.
Yeah, it does. Just one press of the button, you talk to it, and the other person can actually hear you while you are talking into your phone, regardless of how far away they are. I'm excited to use it as an online teacher because it will allow my students to connect with me immediately, even though we're not there in person.
Yeah, and with each other. Oh, that's cool.
That's cool.
I love that you're going to be an online teacher. I'm going to be picking your brain all year long.
I don't know if there's going to be anything to pick, but I apologize because I did mention that Allison is a co-host of Techlandia podcast, but she is also an editor for GettingSmart.com, which is one of my favorite blogs to go check out. So if you have not heard of that, GettingSmart.com.
Go check it out.
Fantastic place. And it focuses mostly on
innovation.
Innovation, and it has quite a few articles about blended learning and online learning, mm-hmm. which John Hardison, who is my regular partner in crime, is one of your writers.
Yes, he's a good one. Just had a post. I'm waiting for a post from you, Mr. Guyman.
A post for me, I haven't been invited to write, but I would love to do that. I just got a tweet from someone saying I send out the link to join the Hangout. Not to view it, but I do have one viewer. I don't know.
Who do you think it is? Maybe it's John Samuelson.
Maybe it's possibly so. Actually,
I think the link to view it is just the, is it the address for it?
I thought so. That's what I tweeted out, but it might be the URL for the embed. So, Allison, go ahead and start talking about what you're trending on this week while I go and tweet this out.
Okay. What I saw actually today is, well, I've seen this a couple days ago, but there's a new iPhone app called, I think it's called Roll Emotion, but it's basically turning your phone into a Wii-like tennis game with your Apple TV, which that might not be the most exciting thing, but it just made me think today about, because I do have an Apple TV in the classroom, and I think a lot of people are getting those, and a lot of people have Apple devices, so I just think that could really start some cool things in the classroom. See what they can do with that.
So does it have to be used strictly with Apple TV?
I think so. So the phone or the iPod with the Apple.
Do you have Apple TV for your home, or do you just have it in school?
I have it at home and school.
It's $100,
Dave.
What do you think about it?
It's the best.
I ask because my principal had won an Apple TV console, and he wanted me to take it home and try it out and figure out how we could use it in the classroom, mm-hmm. but I really didn't figure out. I didn't spend much time using it because it seemed.
Do you have?
I guess I just didn't catch the vision of it.
Do you have any iPads in your classroom?
Absolutely not. I think my iPad's the only one in the school. Well, in my former school.
Yeah.
No, we don't have iPads.
We just had one in the classroom, so yeah. I mean, it makes it easy just to mirror it.
You project your screen up to your projector through Apple TV, right? Mm-hmm.
And my Mac laptop, so I could go in between the two really quick, just turn them on and off. And then also it has YouTube as like an app right there, so if I was going to show, I don't know how much this is true this year, but last year, you know, 2 years ago when I was trying to show CNN student news or something to the students, I'd have to load it up on my computer and wait for it to download, like get, you know, spin through, and it would take 20 minutes. And with Apple TV, it's just instant. Turn it on.
That's cool. That's cool. Very cost effective too.
Yeah. $100.
So
nobody had whiteboards. I mean, interactive whiteboards. So they really.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Just put on a explain everything or something in the Apple TV.
The school I just left had interactive projectors. It was the second year they had those. And so Apple TV seemed redundant.
Right. I'm sure.
So, Allison, this last ISTE 13 San Antonio, what number was that for you in your tour to ISTE?
That was number 3.
Number 3?
How about you?
And it was number 1 for me, and it was the first out-of-town educational conference that I've been to. And what I wanted to talk about is what what nuggets of gold we could give to people who have either gone to a few conferences or have never gone to any, because you have the wisdom of going to the same conference a few years in a row, and I have the wisdom of just finishing my first one, and there are some successes and certainly some regrets in planning for that conference that I had. So let's start out by just giving a rundown of your overall impression or experience with ISTE 13, and I'll let you go first.
I thought this year was super, super hot. That was insane.
Yes, it was very warm. I came home about 20 pounds lighter.
Yeah, holy cow. But I thought that was a good one. Last year, I had a harder time getting specific. I guess I was too overwhelmed last year, not focused enough, and then this year I had my plan, and I definitely missed some good things, but I did get good goals accomplished.
In the midst of tweeting for yourself and tweeting for getting smart?
I became ambidextrous with iPhones.
Yeah, I do have a picture of Allison at the first Ignite session with two phones in her hands tweeting.
I would switch between the two of them pretty quickly. And I don't think I accidentally tweeted from the wrong account once, Dave, not one time.
Do you think that would be considered a 21st century skill, tweeting with two hands?
Who says you can't multitask? I can multitask.
So you said that this year you had your conference planned out a lot better. Did you not use a conference planner last year, or was it not available?
No, I think the first year I went completely alone, and I had my whole schedule planned out. Last year I went with a few more people who I love, and I was glad I went with, but I think it was a little harder to plan exactly what I wanted to do, and this year was kind of a balance. I stayed in a hotel on my own, and kind of could manage my time.
Yeah. Well, with over 700 different classes or sessions to go to, it's really hard to figure out how to spend your time.
Looking back now, there are things that happened where I was like, how the heck did I miss that?
Yeah.
But you get so focused on what, like, I really wanted to see the end of the Iron Chef. And then
I was very bummed out I wasn't there for that. I wanted to participate in it, but I knew that I would be on an airplane when the presentations would happen.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I didn't go.
It was good. We could do it next year. We should plan on being Iron.
That would be awesome. So I told you a little bit about my experience when we were there hanging out. I got off to a really rough start. I had used the conference planner, mm-hmm. and up until about 2 days before the conference, I had planned classes for myself from morning till night, basically, mm-hmm. and found out through reading blogs and tweeting that that wasn't the way to go, because there were poster sessions and playgrounds, and you wanted to really reserve time to connect with people, which I'll get back to in just a moment. So I switched up my conference planner. I cut down some of the classes, made sure that I had marked some poster sessions to go to. And then that first morning, my first two, three conferences, or my classes, mm-hmm. they really just flopped. And I learned some great lessons on planning from that. Me personally, as a teacher, someone who's not in a position to make purchasing choices for my school or district, avoid any classes in the vendor hall. I had wanted to go to some that happened to be in the vendor hall, and I should have known that was just going to be a sales pitch. And then, yeah. I may go out on a limb with this, and I hope that I don't hurt anybody's feelings. I'm not going to name drop at all, but I felt like traveling as far as I did, which wasn't nearly as far as many people did, that every session, regardless of your name recognition, should bring your A game to that. And I felt like there were a few classes that I came to that I took that for granted.
Yeah, I agree.
But there were some that were very well done and very fantastic too. I just didn't start my conference out that way. One of my favorites that I went to was a discussion panel that was hosted by John Hargonen, and it had Tom Whitby was on there, and then some other educators that I was not familiar with that were from around the globe. Actually, there were some from Australia, and they were talking about the future of ed tech and where that's going to be taking us. And more valuable to me than the actual information that was presented in the panel discussion was the dynamic of these educators coming together, not knowing really what questions were going to be asked or what topics were going to come up, but being able to synergistically build off of each other and create real takeaway value for the people that were there.
That sounds like that alone was a good make it a trip worth coming.
That was awesome, and it was pretty funny because I was sitting next to my new principal, who just
your new principal was there?
Yeah, he was there. He just got onto Twitter the night before. He had sat me down and asked me to tell him a little bit about Twitter, and so he was getting active.
Oh, I think I remember that.
Yeah,
did I follow him?
At the snowshoe.
Oh, yeah.
Very yep. active outdoors guy.
Yes.
But he was learning a lot about Twitter, and there was a man sitting to my left. My principal was to my right, and this man to my left was taking visual notes on his iPad. He was doodling notes from the panel discussion, and my principal turned to me and made a comment about how awesome that was, and I said, "Do you want to see something equally awesome?" And I pulled up this person's profile on Twitter and showed the follower count to him. It was Wes Fryer that was sitting next to me. So I showed it to him. He has 20,000 followers. And my principal just about lost it and interrupted the entire discussion. He didn't know that education on Twitter was that popular.
Right.
Yeah.
People just don't know.
So if I were to come up and ask you what was the most valuable part of ISTE for you this year, what would you say?
You know what? I think the highlight probably was the EdTech Women's Dinner. That was
really?
That was a different experience that I've never, it never happened before. And in a room with 110 awesome women, we had bloggers from Edutopia, people from women from Google, app developers, teachers. It was just amazing.
Yeah, I wasn't able to go to that for obvious reasons, but I did see the ISTE 13 hashtag feed being filled up with tweets from the women's dinner. And what do you think was so valuable about that? The networking, obviously, but how is that different than just networking in the conference hall?
It was just having all those different voices in the same room with just no agenda besides getting to know each other and learning about different experiences. You know, we had vendors, but they weren't there to, they're just there to connect with everybody. So they were good discussions.
What did you guys eat?
We had Mexican food.
Oh.
We had tacos and enchiladas and margaritas.
I think that's all I ate was Mexican food in San Antonio. I don't know if they make anything else there.
And root beer.
Yeah, we did get some very good root beer at a delicatessen on the last night that I was there. At least,
yep.
Did you go home Wednesday?
I did Wednesday night, but we had to drive back to Austin really quick.
Yeah,
I had some barbecue.
All right. Yeah, I think if I were to be asked what was the most valuable part of ISTE for me, it would have been something other than what I had expected. I would have thought that I would have gone and gleaned knowledge that people that weren't there wouldn't have been able to get, which may or may not be the case, but the curveball for me was connecting with real people, you being one of them. I remember the first day I was walking down the main conference hallway by myself, had no idea what was going on, and I just saw a big line, so I jumped into the big line thinking that it was something important for me to go to. And while I was standing there, I heard this.
I saw you.
Yeah, I heard this loud, obnoxious guy walking down the corridor towards my direction, and I squinted and looked at the name tag and saw that it read John Samuelson, and so I stopped him to talk to him, and then out from behind him popped this very petite brown-haired lady Allison Anderson, and I don't think I left you guys alone for the rest of the conference.
No, that was so. I all of a sudden I looked up and I saw you, and I said to John, "I think that's Dave Guymon. Do you think that's Dave Guymon? I bet it is." You were the first person we saw.
But yeah, what I'm saying is more valuable than any lessons that I could have learned in any of the sessions. It was meeting people, you and John. I met Michelle Cordy, who was a friend of yours. I met through sitting next to you at the Ignite session during her talk.
I met her 2 hours before I met you.
Oh, really?
Awesome, isn't she?
I didn't know that.
John
but
knew her,
here's
but
the cool.
I had never met her.
Yeah, here's the cool thing is that she was in a session that I attended later in the week, and I sat by her and said, hey, I'm friends with Allison Anderson and John Samuelson. I saw your Ignite talk, and kind of started an icebreaker that way. And it ended up that we're both teaching Lego robotics at this next year. It's going to be my second year and her first year. And the ISTE bookstore had a book for sale about starting the Lego robotics program. And so we both bought it, and we're now doing a book study together where we spent lunch together, mapped out what chapters we were going to read when, and then we're going to get on Google Hangouts. She's in, I want to say British Columbia, Canada?
I think she's in Ontario.
Ontario? Okay, maybe. Somewhere in Canada. And it's great because we have this accountability factor now that we're both going to develop great robotics programs. And it wasn't because of going to the Lego robotics session at ISTE, but because we took time to meet each other.
There you go. That is so just evidence that it's the people that make it worth it.
It is. It is. So if there was someone that came up to you and said, Allison, I'm going to be jumping into the conference circuit as a attendee. Mm-hmm. What is something that you've learned from experience that would help me to get off to the right start? What would you tell them?
Good question.
Other than follow me. Because you could just say that and they would have a great conference experience.
Yes. Well, I think, you mean any conference or just ISTE?
Any conference, really. I'll go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
You got to find the conference. I think ISTE 3 years ago was my first big conference. Now I'm looking, there's people looking in my front door. I don't know if they're going to come and knock. No. Okay. It's kind of like you could start at ISTE and then everything else seems much more manageable.
Yeah, I imagine so.
From there is, but there's some really good thing out of a conference. Like, I mean, you really want to come back being able to do a totally different skill. I would say find a IPDX or a conference with really good presenters and some good sessions.
Yeah, something
ISTE
that
is just kind of like the Disneyland.
So let me throw this at you then, because there was someone that I was talking to at ISTE who had been there before that said they plan their schedule for the sessions based on who is presenting rather than the topic. What are your thoughts on that approach?
Yeah, that's probably, I mean, if you know of the presenters and you know their quality, sometimes if you see the same person too many times, you're hearing the same message, but
yeah.
But that's usually how I pick my smaller conferences to go to, by who's going to be there for sure.
Really?
That's how I ended up meeting John, because I was following him on Twitter, and I knew he was full of resources, and he was presenting at iMobile 2012 in Phoenix, so we went there, and that also happened to be a ton of other great people, like Wes Fryer and Lisa Johnson and Eric Marcos, and so it was just like, if I can see all these same people in the same place, it's worth it.
You just reminded me of one other thing that was incredibly valuable about going to ISTE, and this was total accident. I did not schedule this at all, but I was walking around the second story of the conference center, and I came across a big group at the Bloggers Cafe, and none of them were really blogging, but I heard this guy that was kind of directing almost a discussion-based presentation, and I also saw that he had a guitar and some other people up there that looked like a band. Uh-huh. And can you guess what I walked into?
Was it Kevin Honeycutt?
It was Kevin Honeycutt, who he was giving, I assume that it was scheduled. They had a sign, but it was just very relaxed and informal, and he was teaching people about how to get students involved in music using iPads, and he had rigged an Altoids can where he could plug a bunch of different devices into a threader so that it came out and he could plug one cord into an amplifier, and he was just rocking out with different apps on his iPhone, one of which, let me see, I downloaded it immediately. He should get a commission for how good of a salesman he is.
Yeah.
It is, oh my goodness, where did it go?
I have a music one too that I was playing with today.
What is it?
It's that you use shapes and it makes different songs.
Oh, really?
It's this called one, music.
What's yours called?
Music with a Y instead of an I.
Oh, cool. This one's Voice Band, and okay. Basically what it does is it's a little like ujam.com online.
I was gonna say.
Yeah, but this one, Voice Band, allows you to basically hum into your phone, and you can create. Let's see. You can make your hums turn into lead guitar or keyboards or saxophone or drums. But something cool about VoiceBand is that it also allows you to access your music on your device, so that you can actually play along with some of your favorite songs. So, for instance, I tried it out listening to Radioactive, and was playing drums with my mouth and just layering drums over it, and it was a very immersive experience. I can see how you could get very excited about that in a music class, especially if your music class is basically just a bunch of recorders and handbells.
Oh, yeah.
You're excited about recorders and handbells?
No, sorry, about Voice Band. I just got it. I just looked it up. I think I've downloaded that, but I've never played with it. No, I'm totally...
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's one that works best if you use headphones or, I guess, an amplifier as well.
Okay.
But it's very fun. I think it's $1.99. It's either 99 cents or $1.99. But are you familiar? You seem to be familiar with ujam.com.
No, just I still have it on my list to try it.
Oh, that's right, because you didn't go to that last session that John and I went to that you were supposed to be at because you had slept in. Is that what happened on the last day?
Taking that day off.
Well, this one was shown to us by a man named Adam Bello. Have you ever heard of him?
I think so. Actually, yeah. I think he was the sole reason I went to my first ISTE.
Awesome. Yeah, Adam Bello presented this in the last session I was able to go to Wednesday morning. And UJAM is similar to the app I just told you about, but it's web-based, it's free, and you can, again, sing, hum, beatbox into your computer microphone, and then you can auto-tune it. You can create different layers, so you could create your own soundtrack, your own song, just with your voice. You don't need to have any musical talent. And he showed us one feature that you can actually click on the individual notes, and you can drag them up and down on the music scale, and it will tell you where the best pitch for that note to be placed is.
Wow.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's fantastic. A software program that I would have thought could be sold for a few hundred dollars to a music producer is available to anybody for free, and it's the letter U, ujam.com.
Gosh, I gotta learn that for sure.
Yeah.
Last year the kids would be making videos and then they'd want me to buy a song from iTunes they could put, use as their background. Mm-hmm. And I think they'll even like making their own music that way, especially than buying the song that they like.
And something else that Adam had mentioned to us is that not only can you create your own songs, but you can upload music that you've bought through iTunes and remix it or mash it up with another song that you have on iTunes and really create your own production. And it's used. he said that he has seen it used or used it himself for classroom productions, students that want to have their own music that they can put and upload online, and UJAM's the place to go.
There you go. That is, now that's like, that's the gem of Steve 13 for me.
Yeah.
That's a game changer.
Was me telling you over a Google Hangout a week after the fact?
No, you. Well, remember you told me in the hallway before you left.
Yes, I did.
I'll never forget it.
So, you'll never forget UJAM or me telling you goodbye.
Right, you telling me about it.
So here's a question
about
for you.
About gamification.
Gamification, which is going to lead me into this next question for you. There were three keynote sessions there. Did you go to all three?
I gave two of the three.
You went to two of the three?
Yeah.
We went to the first one together, Jane McGonigal, right?
Right. Go ahead.
I went to Steven Johnson, who was the midweek one, and then I was on an airplane home for Adam Bellows, but I watched it. I watched it on YouTube once I got home. Not judging the quality of any of them at all, which one really connected with you the best for, I guess, what you were looking for at the time?
Good question. I thought they were... I didn't really have time to follow the middle one, which always happens because...
Yeah.
Last year, really good one. But both Adam and Jane... That was the first time I've ever heard Jane McGonigal speak, and I've always wanted to, and I thought she really did a great job. And then Adam, I mean, that's what a presentation should be. When we say PowerPoint is dead, he just takes it to a different level. But he's like an artist. No, I don't know how many, you can't really teach that. So yeah. It's hard to.
And his talk seems to have gone viral on Twitter as well.
Yeah, he's good. He is really good.
I thought that the order that they had them, having Jane start off the week with her whole thesis of there are 1 billion gamers in the world and that's a good thing, here's why, really caught people off guard and got them thinking.
Did you hear that guy behind us? Kind of
I was just going to say there was a guy behind us that definitely had a major eye roll moment when she said that, and I think I might have had that too had I not watched her TED talk the night before when I realized that she was going to be speaking on gamification. I saw a link on Twitter to her TED talk, watched that, and I knew what was coming, which was a fantastic presentation. And I took some notes, actually, because there was something that totally blew me away, and it was that gaming's not necessarily an escapist activity, but that it is an activity that obviously 1 billion people engage in that meets some of their emotional, psychological needs that reality just hasn't been meeting. And there were 10 emotional... needs that gaming met that I can't log into my Evernote right now. It kicked me out and wants me to reset my password.
I think I have them.
Do you have them?
I took a picture.
Yeah, it was on my iPad and actually I get on my iPhone to get it too.
I got the 10 positive emotions.
Yeah.
You want me to say them?
Lay them out there. And those that are listening, and I want you to take an inventory on whether or not you would have thought that gaming could be this productive and powerful.
I'll go for. Do you think they're in order as of importance?
Nah, I don't know.
No, 10 is. I'll go backwards from 10 to 1. Joy, relief, love, surprise, pride, curiosity, excitement, awe and wonder, contentment, and creativity.
I don't think that anybody could say they don't want that to be part of their learning experience or their classroom environment.
Exactly.
Something else that stood out to me in her presentation was that games teach us to be goal-oriented, to fail, and to overcome failure, and that 80% of the time you're playing games, you're failing. which really stood out to me. That's a topic that of course I've been interested in for a long time, mm-hmm. and that hit home for me. What
And it's okay.
It is.
Yep.
It is. It. I think understanding that principle is what sets people who are successful in life apart from those who feel like they are victims of life.
Yep.
So, last thing for the ISTE conversation, Adam Bellow's keynote. What do you have to say?
The one quote that really stuck with me is, and I think I said it on Techlandia not last one, but one before, you are only as, what did he say? You're only as important, or not important, but as the people you are connected to.
Yeah, I remember hearing something like that. His keynote really seemed to be about the importance of communicating value to people.
And community and knowing each other.
Yeah, which was a fantastic wrap-up to the ISTE conference, especially for someone who had just attended their first one like myself, because I had left thinking, yeah, the real value in coming to something like this is the tribe that I'm creating, the tribe that I'm adding to, and the value that I'm going to continue gaining from these new connections.
Mm-hmm. When you know them in person and you really can be friends with them, you get a whole different type of support than you would just finding an idea or a link on Twitter, which is good too, but
you can also now start to place a personality to those tweets that are coming out and to the links and seeing how some of those blog posts really connect or resonate with that person's personality.
Yep.
I think
and their voice. That's why I love reading your book. I can hear your voice while I read it. It's great.
Yeah, it was a very, very humbling experience to be there because
I think that's the first time I've ever read a book that I know the author.
Really?
A published book. Dave, that's awesome.
Thank you. Yeah, it was fun giving those copies out at ISTE. You want to know how many downloads I had in 2 days?
How many?
Just a few shy of 2,000.
That
was great. Yeah, that was great because up until ISTE, I had distributed, whether through promos or sales, about 4,000. So in 2 days, I 150% growth, which was cool.
Congrats.
Yeah.
Yep.
And the coolest part about that is connecting with people who have read that and them sharing their thoughts and comments. And that's really the reason that I wrote the book. If you can't fail,
that's
it doesn't count.
You gotta come on when you come on Techlandia. We'll just do a book talk.
Yeah, that would be fun. But what I was gonna say is it was really fun as a noob going to ISTE and seeing people and recognizing them from their Twitter avatars. Saying, I know her, or I know him, or I've never spoken to, I've never tweeted to that person, but I recognize them from their tweets.
Yep.
Which is really cool. And then saying, hey, I'm Dave Guyman. I follow you on Twitter. What's up? That was really cool. And then some of them were like, oh, yeah, great to meet you. And then you go off on your own separate ways. And some of them were like, hey, why don't we go to the Ignite session? And then after that, why don't we go to lunch and I'll introduce you to my friends and my friends' friends. And then we'll hang out a little bit later and we'll network even more and add value to each other's experience here even more. That was my favorite part. Have I said that my favorite part was meeting people and connecting with people?
I wish that you were a little more personable. It'd be easier for you to meet people. Just kidding.
Well,
sarcastic.
One thing that we do here, which you're very familiar with at Techlandia, is shouting out people that have really caught our attention, build up our experience on Twitter or whatever. It's shouting out tweets that are trending for us on EdTrends, and I'm not going to put a limit to it, 1, 2, 3, infinity, however many you would like to shout out, Allison. And I'm going to let you go first because I want to pull up an individual's Twitter handle to make sure I don't get it wrong.
Okay.
So who would you like to shout out on Twitter?
On the Twitters? Her name is Marjan Ghana, M-A-R, let's see what she is on Twitter. Immersion. Oh, you know what she is? I know. She's. Oh, she is. Okay, she's GHARAGJM, and she is the creator of Biblionasium. Which, have you
I've
ever
heard of
seen
that.
Biblionasium, Dave?
Yeah.
It's like Safari for elementary kids. It's so cool. And I met her at the EdTech Women's Dinner, and I couldn't believe that she did this. I mean, with her, the help of her husband, I think. But she's basically running this site, and it is the neatest looking site, and it just got listed on the American Library Association 25 best sites to use, and she's doing great things
That's
for
awesome.
getting kids to read.
Yeah, I'm familiar with
Yes.
Biblionasium. So how did you connect with her? Just on Twitter?
I've just tried out Biblionasium. I'd never met her, and then she walked into the EdTech Women's Dinner, and I was handing out the name tags, and I said, "Oh,
I know
Biblionasium, I
you.
love that site." I thought maybe she was like one of the team, you know,
Yeah.
like, did you come from your big office?
Did
But
someone send
it's
you?
just her. So,
That's very
yeah,
cool
yeah.
to know that she's that
She's
involved
awesome.
on a personal level in connecting Biblionasium with its user base. Mine
Okay.
is also a connected female educator. Her name is Heather Morgan, and her
Okay.
Twitter handle is Heather Ann 10. So it's HEATHERANN 10, and she is an educator. From Texas, Keller, Texas, and I did not get to meet her at ISTE, but when I got back, she invited me to participate in her district's Twitter weekly Twitter chat. It's Keller ISD chat, so I'm thinking that's Keller Independent School District, and I thought that I was being invited to participate in a Twitter chat about resilience and failure and perseverance in that way, but the Twitter chat for this, I think is the second largest district in Texas, was about my book, which was very humbling for me. And I'm not shouting her out because she promoted my book, but I'm shouting her out because she invited me to connect with her colleagues, and I had a great time for an hour connecting with these educators who are now valuable members of my PLN. And looking at her Twitter bio, it says she graduated in December 2012 from the University of North Texas, and so she's someone who I'm assuming is fresh in the education game, and she's already making a huge difference connecting and adding value to whatever institution or organization she's working for. So be sure to follow Heather Ann 10 on Twitter. Fantastic PLN member.
Definitely.
I have one more,
Okay.
and her name is Allison Anderson at Ted Rose CC. Don't get confused though, because the CC is not CICI, it's CECI, and fantastic person to add to your PLN as well.
Thanks, Dave.
What, 10 days ago we were basically strangers. Now I consider you one of my best friends, not just on Twitter. So thank you very much for taking me under your wing at ISTE. Thank you for going out to lunch, getting some root beer when I was walking down the road aimlessly, trying to figure out what to do on that last evening there.
It
And
was like
thank you.
every time I was thinking, "Oh, what should I do now?" All of a sudden, you would be, Dave Hyman, perfect.
That sounds very awful, actually.
No, it was
Are you
really good. We were
familiar
on the
with the
same timing.
Yeah, are you familiar with the old Nickelodeon cartoon Hey Arnold?
Yes,
Do you
Hey
remember
Arnold.
do you yep, do you remember the guy that would always sneak up on Helga and he'd breathe down her neck like this? That's kind of how I was to you at ISTE in San Antonio.
Not at
Yeah.
all.
I'd be like,
Not in the
"Hey
least.
Allison, wanna go get root beer?"
No way. That isn't even close to being true. But we're gonna get you to Portland this year.
That would
I
be
know.
awesome, especially if it rains up in the Northwest, because down here in southeastern Idaho right now, my grass is yellow and I am sweating up a storm.
You gotta come where the cool breeze blows all year long and
Yeah.
rains all the time. So it's
Awesome.
not
Yeah,
rainy today.
looks like you have a comfortable sectional there that I could probably my wife and I could plop down and snooze on,
I
and
I got a whole guest room for you. Bring.
No, that's where we put our. That's where we put my daughter.
Harper.
Yeah.
Well, we got. I actually have a crib too. Well, she's
really?
Probably getting too big for the crib.
Is it soundproofed?
I got three, Dave. You got nothing on me. There's nothing I can't take.
Tomorrow's the 4th of July for those that are not listening to this live, and it is also Harper's half birthday. So she'll be 1.5 tomorrow, and I've been telling her all day that people across the nation are going to be celebrating her birthday with fireworks, parades, and barbecues. And I plan on continuing to tell her that until she figures out otherwise. I'm a good dad.
You are a good dad.
Don't you think that'll make her feel so important until she finds out that it's a big cacophony lie?
And she probably won't find that out until...
Until she's
a
at
long
least
time,
10.
It'll be fine. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, I think at least 10 or 11.
Till some mean kid tells her, no, that's not true.
Yeah,
your dad's
no.
been lying to you.
Yeah, nobody even knows it's your half birthday. Well, Allison, I want to thank you for coming on to EdTrends. It's very, very enjoyable to not only have you on the podcast, but to just converse with you. And it's great to know that I have someone that I can vox to when I wake up scared in the middle of the night. So keep your phone plugged in. Keep the volume on.
At all times.
Yep, I usually wake up about 2:30 or so. I'll vox you and say, what are you up to? Anything you want to say to the EdTrends audience besides listen to Techlandia podcast? Is it Saturday nights or Sunday nights?
It's usually Saturday nights.
It's usually Saturday nights. And what time Eastern?
It's been getting earlier, so usually about 10 o'clock Eastern time. We used to do it at like midnight Eastern time, but then
Kurt
got involved and he doesn't stay up.
You what my current project with Techlandia is?
What's that?
Listening to every episode in reverse chronological order. And I started that for my flights and bus rides down to ISTE.
It's just going to get progressively worse.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty good. I am in the middle of Techlandia 16.
Which one? Is Kurt on it?
Kurt's on there, but I get the idea that he might be... has he not been on it the entire time?
No.
Yeah. I started to get the idea that he had joined around this time.
Okay.
So was it just you and John then to start it off?
It was just John and I at first.
Yeah. No, I think episode 16 is the last one where he is Whisk Principal on Twitter. And then he makes the...
Okay, then that's pretty close to him starting.
He has the midlife crisis and changes to Kurt Reese.
Changes personalities.
Yeah.
Because we had never met Kurt till he came to IPDX, and once we met him, he came on, but that was in the middle of February, and John and I started at the beginning of January, so.
That's cool, and so you're getting ready to add a fourth member, right?
Yeah, we are.
Dave Diamond. For those of you that aren't watching this live, that was a big eyebrow raise going to Allison.
I think it's meant to be.
Yeah, well, I'll let you guys have your own thing because I was too much of a groupie down in San Antonio for you and John. He was very, very excited to get home to Austin and know that I was going in the opposite direction.
No, stop saying that. That's not true in the least.
Yeah, I'm going to shout out John. John, iPad Sammy on Twitter. Fantastic Twitter member, but even cooler guy to connect with. I spent a lot of time with him, and he was who I was hanging out while you guys were at the EdTech Women's Conference. We were watching Game 6 of the Stanley Cup playoffs. He is from Chicago, as you very well know, and his Chicago Blackhawks won in the last 25 seconds with 2 goals in 17 seconds.
Dave, you know that I'm from Chicago too, right?
Really?
Yes. That's why we kind of got to know each other so well, but... Yeah, so I missed my Blackhawks winging. That was the only thing that was a bummer about the
I didn't know
EdTech
that.
Women's dinner.
I didn't know that, but you knew that I'm part Cherokee, right?
Yes, I totally knew that.
Yeah, you can see it.
Yes, now it makes sense.
Yeah. Yep. Well, when John's on the show, we usually keep it to 30 minutes, but not when Allison's on the show, because we're pushing an hour, which I have had a blast for. Allison, any last words? I think I might have asked you this already, and it led to 10 more minutes of great conversation. Any last thing you want to shout out to
happy
all of our One Edtrends viewers?
And happy
4th of July
to Harper.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Oh, man, now I'm going to draw the podcast out, because, Allison, did you know that the Declaration of Independence, I may be getting my fact mixed up, but it went public on the 4th, and they created or signed it on the 2nd?
Oh, little known fact.
Now, something about it was made official on the 2nd of July. And it was made public on the 4th. Maybe I have that backwards.
No, you're...
we could look at it. Google it.
Yep.
Google it. Awesome. Thank you for listening to EdTrends Episode 4.
Woohoo!
On this July 3rd, 2013. And thank you for Allison Anderson at Ted Rose CC on Twitter for joining us. And John Hardison will be gone again next week. He's going on vacation, but perhaps I will have another special guest, or I will bring Allison back if she's not doing anything.
I'm never doing
anything. So thank you, and go tell your friends to download this podcast in the iTunes store.
I will.
Adios.
Talk to you later.